Far across the land and sea, Utu, Utu B, Aguna. 5,000 miles away, a few Arsenal Bangalore fans come together to discuss all things Arsenal. Welcome to the Bangalore Gooners podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to a fresh episode of the Bangalore Gooners podcast. I have Kirti, Vinay, Jomi and Anko with me today. Saturday night. There's no football today, but there's one last game to be played in the Premier League tomorrow. The last game, which bears no consequence to our final league position. A couple of interesting games for the Champions League spot, but that's about it. The title has been wrapped up. Let's not discuss too much about those stuff. We'll be talking all about Arsenal as we've been in this podcast. It's tough times for everyone out there. If you feel you're not in the right mind space, do reach out to your close ones, friends, families, Gooners, wherever they are, and just keep in touch. So today we are gonna focus. We'll start with the game that we last played, Aston Villa. We all saw how it turned up, 1-0 loss to the Arsenal. So there was a visible lack of creativity, which was, I mean, not only the goals, we didn't even have any proper shots on target, if I'm right. So it was something that was clearly exposed, I would say. So just want to start off by asking, do you see this as a worrying trend, or is it something to be factored in because of the weariness, the physical drain because of the back-to-back games since the game has restarted? Jump in, feel free to share your thoughts on that.
I think looking at our number of chances created, right, I just looked at a stat some time back. I think we're sitting somewhere on 16th place in the league with regards to number of chances we've created. And for a team which used to boast like two or three number 10s at the same time, not being able to play in the same team or having to go back as one of the number 10s as a box-to-box midfielder, we used to create a lot of chances. At that time, we didn't have a prolific striker who would convert all those things. But looking at the chances as well as the conversions that we have right now, our strikers are not getting enough chances, but their conversion rates are much better. And I think that's the reason why we are, to be honest, why we are in the top 10. But anything outside of that, I think we can't just rely on the wing backs who keep bombing in balls. There's no penetration through this middle at all. Whenever you look at any game in the past, since restart, right? I don't know what Arteta's planning with regards to that. He did mention about Ozil and all his stats and whether he's good or not and all those things came up. But still, there is no one who's near the box waiting for the ball and actually do a through ball or actually take it from there. And that person sitting in between all the midfield as well as the defense of the oppositions, we need to have someone there. We can't expect us to always play through one, and we're being too one-dimensional. And from the quality that we boast of our standards of where we are, it is very needed for us to do it. And I think we have to get there. It was not the performance, but overall, with regards to whatever we have done the whole season, it's not been good.
I think the running joke that Wenger's teams had was you got a 0-10-0 formation. 10 in the midfield who would create like crazy and there was no end finish. So how things have turned, isn't it? Let's be honest on that. We are having absolutely zero or zilch creativity. I think the contribution from midfield towards goals, I think apart from Xhaka, I can't even remember this season. At least from the time the restart happened, we haven't seen anyone scoring from the midfield. Just begs the same question, and call me a fanboy, but is it all worth paying a person to sit under an umbrella 350,000 a week? It's got nothing to do with Mesut. If Arsenal were winning and things were fine, everything hunky-dory, go take a hike, Mesut. We don't care for you. And realistically, it's about Arsenal. And Arsenal are struggling. It's as simple as that. start of the prediction, and I'm no Nostradamus, I said we are going to finish the same place that we are when the restart happened. Start of the season, I said we are going to finish mid-table, and it's not got to do with, I know I have a crystal ball, right? It's so apparent. All of you would have predicted. It's just that you guys want to be a little bit more optimistic than me, because unless you create, and we are very lucky that if you minus or subtract Aubameyang goals, you very well know we would probably be 12th, maybe 12th, 13th. Lacazette has about 8 or 10 goals in the Premier League, or maybe 11 now, with, I think he scored in the last 3 or 4 games, apart from the Villa game. If you are saying that you're going to go into a championship run-in for whatever, top 4 or wherever we want to finish, and you are going to have take out Aubameyang, you are only at a striker scoring 11 goals and your midfield contributes 0, that is basically scraping for a relegation, not top 4. So if Arsenal realistically want something to change, they need to create more. And in this team, like it or not, apart from Ozil, there is no other creator. Don't make that kid become a creator. Saka is a left winger at best, a left back when he is pragmatic, and that's it. He has been played and outplayed too often. So unless you create, we will not change anything in terms of this context.
I want to take you back, Vinay, towards the end of the Wenger years, right? I mean, I think we should speak. I mean, one of the issues that team had is, towards the end, we never used to create chances how we used to. I mean, the football flow used to be there, but for some reason, the chances made used to always reduce. Now, I don't want to suggest, or I don't want to say, because we play three up front or two up front, or we need three, or we need attacking midfielder, we need a creative midfielder. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think the downfall for the club started ever since the likes of Fabregas and all those guys left. It was very hard for us to actually create chances, and that's always been our downside. And we can, how much ever we want, we can blame the defense. But I always felt they are scapegoats. If probably we had a team that was creating more chances, maybe the issues that we have with our defense wouldn't have been even called out, because we would have hit more goals. I mean, if you take the last game, right? I mean, you're playing Aston Villa. Leave about their the chance of trying to make it out of relegation, stuff like that. Yes, definitely those kind of teams do play better given the scenarios. But not having a single shot on target, that's something that needs to change. And it's not about Arteta. It's not about Emery. It's not about Lundberg. Anybody, right? I mean, I personally have seen the downhill status of the chances created. I mean, yes, things have changed when Sanchez used to be there, when Ozil used to be there, Cazorla used to be there, but it was still very less. As a team, if we want to be in the top three, top four, I think we should be doing a lot more in that particular position of creating chances.
Yeah, just want to
I think I agree in terms of what you said, Jomi. Basically, after Fabregas and Cole left, I think around 11, 12 maybe, that's when I still maintain that the regression of the team happens, I think started from 2011-12 season onwards. I think once Van Persie left, 12, 13 maybe, I think that was around that time. And you answered it almost, that between that 12 to literally 15 till Sanchez came in, the Sanchez, Ozil, Cazorla trio were the ones creating. Else it was basically being won because of probably the team playing as a team. Because that 12 to 15 season, those 3 years, Arsenal, those teams should realistically not be finishing top four. They were punching above their weight, very honestly. 15 onwards, and I keep regretting this every single time. If Champions League was the defining moment in that between 2000 to 2010, 2011 to 2020 would be the Leicester season when they won. We should have won that quite comfortably. because we had everything then. We were creating. Remember, it all stopped 2016 till 2015 end when we were beating our Jan, when we were beating Leicester at home. We said the league is ours. And then after those 3 months, how much ever Sanchez had a great time here or Ozil had some of his best seasons. Ozil's best season was incidentally the Leicester season. So, yes, I agree. We don't create at all. And I think it's been around 8 years when you could say Arsenal were very fluid. Maybe that was because of the team, all those creative, young, small, twinkle-footed players. We don't have it and we need it. I'm not saying go back to the Wenger kids. I'm not saying that. But there has been zero creativity. And in between, we had that influx of Cazorla, Sanchez and Ozil together. But again, we are back to square one. We have none of those three. I mean, one is still technically in the team, but he's not even counted.
Yeah, one interesting aspect that I read a couple of days ago after the Villa game on the blog was that so there's this area of the pitch called the zone 14, right in front of the penalty box, through the middle. So somewhere between 2013 till about 16 or 17, we were number one in the number of touches in and around that zone 14 area, meaning we could create chances through the middle. Over the years, after say 17 or so, we've come down to 8th, and we are probably somewhere 10th or after 10th right now. So that shows, that we are not getting the ball through the middle, beat for so many reasons. So one of the, Ankur, you might want to take this. So my question here is, one, we have, we had certain set of players who were extremely good in terms of creating chances. I mean, basically attacking players like Cazorla, Rosicky, Jack Wilshere, Alexis and Mesut and whatnot. Even Ramsey, used to run down through the box whenever he could. The Chelsea winner in the FA Cup game is an evidence of that. So Emery came, a couple of people were sold. Ozil was benched and then he was brought back in. Alexis was sold, during Wenger's or towards the end of Wenger's reign or whatever. So people have been left out or sold and whatnot. So do you think, do you think the club had things in mind? Like we are selling all these, creative players. They're all going off. So did they have anything in mind? Like we would be dependent on a certain Mesut Ozil who is never going to be played by subsequent managers for whatever reasons or... How is it?
See, honestly, it doesn't look like. I mean, if the club had the had a proper plan, or they had thought about, then probably we wouldn't have been dying for creativity. Every game we just cry out for there was lack of creativity. So definitely, I don't know what the club was thinking, because. And talking about Ozil, I have to just mention one fact. See, obviously there is something wrong with Ozil. That's why two back-to-back managers are not playing him. We thought the issue was with Unai, because as soon as Mikel came, he was using Ozil for all the games. But suddenly after the lockdown, something has happened. But my worry is, since we have no resources, and with an inflated market, we know that getting a creative player is so difficult. And Ozil, someone who we all know, in one line, he doesn't want to leave. Yes, we all think that he doesn't want to leave because he is earning 350k per week just sitting at home. But come on, but we are also getting these news that he really wants to fight for the team and get his place. That is what Ornstein also mentioned. So my question is, if a player who, I'm okay if he doesn't want to leave, but he's also ready to fight for the for a spot in the team, he should be looked around and he should be given that opportunity when it comes. Because currently we are absolutely in shortage of creative midfielders or creative players, and sadly that is not our priority. because our defense is so horrifying, we have to first invest on our defense. So I think the whole agenda of like selling out Ozil and leaving Ozil out, I am not very okay with it. Call me an Ozil fan or whatever, but I think we should rather use Ozil for one more year rather than just selling him off and then like throwing our heads here and there to get another creative player.
Yeah, let me quickly go back on that again. So if you see certain positions, like say right back, we have Hector and Suarez and Tierney and Kolasinac on the left wing, sorry, left back position. So we center defenders also, we have an abundance. The quality question obviously can be questioned, but we have them in numbers. So again, like were people thinking about we should have an attacking midfielder or a backup for one while we were doing all those sales or bringing in someone like a Pepe when he cost about 70 plus million. So was that in mind, or was it all messed up because there were multiple managers after Wenger left? So is it a combination of all, or I mean, did we did the club not see that we would end up in a situation like this?
Shall I answer?
Go for it, Vinay.
Okay. I think it's a mess up. In simple words, I think we have messed up Ozil. Ozil has messed himself up. Yeah, let's be honest. He is not done certain things that he's expected. You can't tell me that it's just a one-sided story. You can't tell me that everything, he is some saint and the managers or devils are incarnate here. No. I think there is a mess up from both sides. But who is the loser in this? That's all my point is. Ozil isn't losing much. He is not someone who is trying to build a career, right? He is most likely saying, like, whoever can afford me, buy me, else I'm going to stay here. And his camp is very clear from day one that this is how we are going to operate. Now, you force me out of the club with certain things, that's left to you. Write me off. Pay my wages off for a year and I'm willing to go. I'll go back to Turkey, I'll go back to US, or I'll settle down somewhere else. I don't know, in Himalayas. But the point is, it's a mess up. My problem is, this mess up has cost Arsenal more than Ozil. And who is bigger? Arsenal. So 350 a week, you're still playing. You don't have one realistic name that you can call as a backup to Ozil. I'm not talking about, let's say, skill-wise, same levels. No chance. But you are literally saying, we are going to create a team which will not have a number 10. Fine. I'm okay with it. But even with so-called changes in system and changes in three managers now, right? It's Arteta now, Freddie before, and then Emery after Wenger left. So none of them seem to have devised a plan which is working. Is it work in progress? Well, that's taking too long, frankly, because you don't say like, okay, if Arsenal created 10 chances and failed to score one, you could say like, that's a problem with the strikers. We go back to the Giroud episode, but he still scored 100 goals for us, Giroud, with hardly any creativity. So that was probably something else. But here you've got two top marksmen in Aubameyang and Lacazette. And you're saying, I'm sorry, if you want to score it on your own, which is almost what Aubameyang has done. A lot of those goals were his own making. And that is the worry. The club have messed it up. And they have no return to this. They had to play Ozil, grind him out. Tevez, I gave this example. Carlos Tevez had literally a punch in and punch out literally with Mancini. 6 games or probably 6 weeks, I don't remember. He came back and played for City and all. I think won them the league. Was that the same season? I'm not sure. So whose ego are we trying to say like mine is bigger than yours? Really, the club should be better than this. Ozil is not losing anything out of this. The club is, Arteta is, the football on the pitch is dire. And unless something is going to be done in, let's say, next 6 weeks before the season starts again, Ozil is just happy to sit under the umbrella for the next 1 year. He's telling, deal with it.
So, on the Ozil thing, right? I mean, Anjan, I'll come to your question also. But the specific thing to Ozil, I've felt ever since he stopped his national team ambitions, he is done as a footballer. And the unfortunate thing, Vinay, is there's always something that you always forget is Arsenal is also not losing as a club, because there is something that they are getting in return, and that's the reason why they are also happy. Otherwise, they could have just, brought his contract. They are doing a lot of marketing. They are selling a lot of shirts, and I believe he is profitable. And this is where I have a problem with this club, the club that we all like and love. It's all about money and less about football. I feel Ozil makes a lot of money for the club in some way or the other, and that's the reason why they're ready to leave with him. Now, coming back to that question of are we doing something wrong in terms of these transfers and these issues? Take 2002 to 2005. My understanding is it's been 2004, rather. I think calculations have gone wrong in the sense Wenger had a dream, and I think he put a lot of credit, and I don't think that was needed, on Fabregas and a few kids that were coming up. And he thought they would change the way how we play football, like the tiki-taka, whatever you want to call that, and we will be able to replace those players who actually were at the peak of their time from 2000 to 2004. So which means typically we've never replaced any of those players. Okay, so I don't even want to go before the Emirates era, the Highbury era. So let's forget that. Let's start from Emirates. Now what's happened is now we've got a set of few players who's good, who's decent. And ever since those players have left, we've never replaced them. And slowly, it has come to a stage where we've got a mediocre team. And whoever is coming is replacing that mediocre player. But has never, ever replaced the actual ones who really want to win something for the team. And I'm going to include Ozil, Sanchez. They were good in patches. But I don't know if they have that love and affection for the club. And I think you need to have players who want to give it all for the club. And I don't see that trend ever happening. And till that change happens in how we buy players, I don't think it ever coming back. I mean, I've said this in the past. We've won 3 FA Cups. And if we ever had problems with players thinking we've never got into a cup final, that should have all gone away. I mean, for years we've said, okay, our team has never got into a final and that's where the problem is. But 3 FA Cup wins in 4 years, all of that should have been taken away. But the next year is just, we're just back to square one. The slate is all cleaned up. And then we again show our issues and concerns on the pitch like we always do before that. So I don't know. I don't know where the problem is. We've changed managers. I still see that issues going on, and I think we would need much more players, many more players in the squad to probably change their attitude, and not with kids.
Yeah, so we've talked about specific players having an impact on the creative aspect, even managers for that reason, imposing their style of play. So when you take the Villa game, we are 1-0 down since whatever minute they scored. We have about, I think he scored in what, 27 minutes. We have about an hour of game left. We try something. We try the way Arteta wants to play, which predominantly, put the ball on the flank, give it a cross or whatever. So he's trying to do that for another 20 minutes. The half time, he talks to his players, telling them what to do. After halftime, again, they play for another 15 minutes. Nothing happens. So at what point do you think that, I need to change the way I play? Something like, say, someone like in Sam Allardyce would just poof the ball up to your striker, see something happens. the way Stoke used to play, the way other teams used to play, you know, just putting the ball up there to their striker, like say someone like an Andy Carroll or someone. Do you think it's important that we always play the way the Arsenal want to play? You know, there's accusation that Arsenal always try to walk the ball into the net. So is it that important that you always play that style, or is it okay for us to you know, go look at alternative styles of play, not style, or look at different outlets, like, you know, pumping the ball in the air and see if something happens out of that?
See, however we've been over the years as well, right? We are never at a point where we were good at pumping in the ball at the last and trying to get that goal, right? I don't think we ever had the players, apart from maybe Giroud, holding the ball. But again, when he was there, we would not use it. And I think we still try to, either before when you had a creative player, we used to do through the middle, but now we are trying to do through the wings. You saw at the end of the Aston Villa match, we had what, like three strikers on, two wingers with Joe Willock. We hardly had any defense back. So nothing came out. Nothing came out mainly because of the guys didn't know what to do. And I think apart from that, right, I think it was a mental block also with regards to this particular game, on knowing that there's not much that this game is going to bring, even if we win or we lose. Because as we mentioned, at the point when we were, when all the other teams are winning to get into the top six or top seven, the couple of games which we lost against, I think the Brighton game, if we had won, maybe we could have done something. But we are right now at a point where we don't do much with regards to the way that we play, apart from just using our wing backs. And I think that formation came up mainly because of whatever Ankur mentioned on our defense, right? We have to solidify our defense before we can go work on our midfield and work on our attack. I think that's what he's trying to do. Maybe that's what I'm using to justify myself with regards to why we don't have good midfielders. But it is what it is. I don't see us changing drastically until for the next three or four transfer windows. And looking at reports of how much our transfer budget might be, I heard it is 30 million, but I don't see what we can get with 30 million. With Saboyes himself, they're asking for what, 35 million euros, Madrid. But not gonna. I don't see us solving all our issues in at least, not in two transfer windows. I see it taking at least four or five. And we need to have a manager who's going to help us overperform, as Wenger used to do with a mediocre team. I think that is, I see the traits there being there in Arteta, but again, you can't always think that way is always going to work. And if you look at all the champions team, all the teams that won the championship, right, some or the other way, they end up winning those kind of games. It's either luck, or it's either VAR decisions, or it is referees giving them favorable decisions. Or it can just be someone like an Andy Carroll who's just going into the box, holding up top and then kicking it out. But it is what it is. And I think we are at a point where we are used to seeing these kind of things, and we're fine with it. But unless until we start seeing some drastic motivational changes that happens to the team, I still see us going the same way for the next couple of seasons.
I think, Anjan, what you're trying to ask for is there a plan B in Arteta? The answer is there is no plan B. Way it is there is a personnel B. So there is a change in personnel. There is not going to be a change in style. Will we accept it? I mean, it doesn't really matter if in the 92nd or the 93rd minute, if Mustafi scores from his ass also. It makes no difference as long as we win. Football is all about winning. I mean, we may all say like we have grown up or we have been pampered by the style of football, but offer anyone the chance that we are going to go back to the Graham era and win 1-0 every single game and win the championship, being called the most boring team on earth, nobody will battle an eyelid. So I think that is where the problem lies. Arteta, it's not Arteta as well, but Arteta's way of looking at football suddenly is trying to mirror what City are doing. His fullbacks are probably his most crucial players. And Arsenal and all of us, what we are talking at is trying to make the game from the center, like say middle of the park, which is where the creativity comes in. So you are not going to see that in an Arteta team. I don't, even if you give him the world's best number 10, which I still incidentally believe is Ozil, but even if you give the best possible number 10, that may be around, Arteta will say, no, thank you. His football will tailor around his fullbacks. And until and unless he gets those kind of fullbacks who are going to supplement into wingers, it's the blueprint that Pep has. It's almost the same blueprint Klopp has. Klopp doesn't have a number 10, right? And he's winning the league by more than 20 plus points from City. But you need to have those kind of personnel for this to come through. Till you don't, we will keep moaning, or at least a few of us will keep moaning that why don't you create when you have a creator? And Arteta will, or anybody else will say, no, we are not going to go that way. We are going to go our way only, but he doesn't have the personnel. So Kirti is right. He is trying to address it. How many windows? Well, realistically, he doesn't have 3-4 windows. He's got this window. That's why he's kept on saying, I think recently, that he can't make mistakes. He very well knows Arsenal cannot afford another Europa or Europe. That will be decided next season. But if he doesn't qualify us to either one of them, I'm really not sure how much patience the board will show.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mention him mirroring, City, right? The last game we played City, obviously we won with whatever plan, call it A, B, C or Z, we won that game. But if you see City that game, they played with a number 10 or someone, similar to Ozil. Not very athletic, not very hardworking, sort of lazy, but more effective. David Silva, he's been a joy. We've spoken about him. His joy whenever he plays for City, and that is one of the aspects where he has. He has thrived under Pep, right? Being the attacking manager that he is. And he does not need to do a lot of things. But if Arteta is someone who is trying to mirror what Man City are doing or Pep Guardiola is doing at City, then maybe we would have seen a better use of Mesut. Then again, he seems to have different ideas. We can talk all day about it, but I'll try to end it here. So coming to the transfer part, the transfer window seems to be opening up very soon. We've been linked to a lot of players in different positions. So where do you guys think, or what positions are important as per you? Because certainly the lack of creativity is a cause for concern. But where do we have to focus the most?
CDM. First focus definitely in the central defensive midfielder role, because I think in this group, Vinay is the only one who has been very confident with the fact that Torreira is not going to be with us next season. I think that Torreira might leave. Although Torreira is not a proper CDM, but I still think CDM is something which we should look at first. Followed by a defender, a proper center back, then probably a playmaker. I would have also liked to, if it wasn't for Saka, then I would have also added a winger on that list. But I think since we have seen the rise of Saka, I think we can still have a say on that. Yeah, Kirti, you wanted to tell something?
Unless
you want to go out shopping for on a supermarket, you can't keep on adding players to the waiting list. It's not gonna happen.
See, so Defensive midfielder, yes. Valid point. Something that Jomi used to bring up in a lot of other all of our other discussions. Xhaka was brought in as a defensive midfielder, but we don't see him having the pace to continue. What we can do is mainly push Xhaka into a box-to-box and have someone in place with regards to defensive midfield. I think that works. With regards to centre-backs, man, we have a lot of centre-backs. And I don't see us... Maybe Socrates might leave. I think that's why he's not being played. With Saliba coming in, I don't know how much game time he's going to get. If you're going to stick to three at the back, maybe Kola, Sinans might leave. But I don't see us getting more than two people. And with the new rumours going on with us fighting for that... teenager from Sporting, right? I think Joelson Fernandez or something.
Joelson Fernandez, yeah.
Yep. So,
before you discuss about Joelson, I just want to add a question also along with it. What do you, mm-hmm. I mean, the addition of another teenage, if we end up buying him, what do you think? Does this mean that... what does this mean for the likes of Nketiah and Martinelli, or does this mean that we have quite made up our mind that we might be losing one of the Oba or Laka? If yes, then do you think it's the right time to have a group of teenagers to take up that role?
No. See, again, that's the thing, right? We had a serious discussion with regards to telling that putting on Joe Willock and putting on Nketiah at a moment where we need to win or something is not going to help us. Against the Leicester game, unfortunately, because of the red card, but still, we didn't have an outlet. We didn't have a way to handle it. I think that's where experience matters. If you look at a lot of senior players during those situations, they bring in their experience with regards to how do you play 10v11. And that's where you hold out, and actually get those wins also, or get those draws, which are very critical. For us, right, I don't see we need that. We need that Joelson Fernandez. Maybe he is a wonder kid or all those things. But right now, don't we have that spot on the left wing? And most of the left wing is being played by Oba right now. See,
unless right, he's the next Ronaldo.
See, Jomi, again, United keep bringing up every 2 years that... I know. But United keep bringing up every 2 years a new guy coming from somewhere as a winger. And telling he's the next Ronaldo. And I don't see that happening as much. Again, someone who was close to that was maybe Mbappe when we had an outside chance of getting him. But again, we don't know until the people plays, right? Again, see, Ronaldo came into the United team, started playing. We are right now at a point where we don't know what is our best attacking pair. We look at the top three as Oba, Laka and Pepe as the best three that we can have. On there, they work well. But then again, each and every time we look at Laka maybe not contributing, again, we talk about it. Then again, we tell that Oba has to go in the middle. Then you mean that you're dropping off Laka. Then are you talking about a left wing as Saka or Martinelli? Where is this guy going to come and fit in now? According to me, if you're paying anything more than 2 to 5 million, we don't need to do anything. I think the only reason why we are going in for him is he has contractual issues with Sporting right now. I don't think he has signed a new contract. Rumors are that he might sign it if they give him a new contract, but it's just an investment. And I think it goes back to what Jomi, you told. We are running a business. I don't see us running a football club whose motive is to make a great team and win trophies. I think Jomi, you can counter on that with regards to that. And I think that's the only way it makes sense for us to go and invest on this guy. It's an investment and I don't see him being as a player.
See, the issue is, right, you buy a stock one day for 0 rupees and then after a couple of years, you try to sell and it fetches you 3 lakhs and you feel that you've done amazing job, and then you want to do that all the time. And I'm referring to somebody who was sold to Everton. I mean, if you put that as a benchmark, then yes, you can buy every kid in the goddamn world, and you can try selling them for higher the price that you've invested. And I think that's what Chelsea does. But then you need to have the money to buy 100 kids and spread them all across the globe. I mean, I think Chelsea does a wonderful job with respect to that. I mean, even if they have a transfer ban for like 3-4 years, they can still survive and they make money also. But see, we'll definitely have players going out, and I think that's where the money is coming in. Kirti, assume that the 30 million, what you said is true. That's what we have. We definitely going to sell some players. I am really trying to understand what the plans are going to be with Lacazette and Aubameyang. I mean, if Aubameyang signs the contract, are we going to have Lacazette also on? So that's something that will be interesting. So so keep them aside, but otherwise, Torreiro, Guendouzi, Socrates, a lot of these players would go Kolasinac. Ozil might also be sold. So sold or they buy back the contract or something like that. So they will ease in a little bit of money for them to buy about 3 players, maybe. Worst case, 4, if we lose Aubameyang. I mean, that's what I feel.
Chelsea are someone I think we should be looking at in terms of making the sales, right? They sell their players for exceptional prices. I hope if whoever we are selling, I hope we sell them to good prospective buyers who can help the club with a lot of money. So we've been joined by Vivek and Elroy. Moving on.
I just had one point, Anjan, sorry. What was the money Kirti said for that kid from Sporting Lisbon? He said 2 to 5 million.
Yep.
He's supposedly 45 million, just for you to know.
Sorry, I didn't know that.
Well, if it's 2 to 5 million, then 45, let's buy him now. No chance. He's supposed to be again, yeah, the incarnation of Ronaldo again. Anyways, that's never going to happen. So you can continue, Anjan. But yeah, touted to be 40 plus million for him, which is never going to happen from Arsenal, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes wonder if it ever happens so, with us, like some wonder kid comes up from our academy. Sure, we want him to play for us, but is there ever going to be a chance that somebody else is going to bid an excess amount of 30, 40, 50 for the Arsenal wonder kid?
So, Vinay told it never has happened with Arsenal. Again, I know Pepe's deal is structured in such a way that we end up paying maybe 1/4 each and every year and cover it up for the 72. But we made that deal happen. So, we will end up paying 72 million for him. So, I would say never, but depends on a lot of factors, right? And if we are...
I meant we having the budget to buy him.
Of course,
going to give us 450 installments, definitely. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's looking for a personal, I think we should ask the Arsenal guys to negotiate with our bankers and get that sort of, you know, EMI deal.
Ask them which credit card they use to swipe, seriously.
If we are paying someone for so much, right, we better play the person and the first team, because we lack a lot of positions with regards to our first team or for someone whom we can get for such amount of money. I just don't see us going ahead and picking up someone like that for such numbers, even after what we did with Pepe last season.
Oh, you don't say about paying a lot of money and playing them. A lot of people would disagree. We've spoken about that.
On cue, Vivek will step in now.
yeah, I'm sure he will. But that's for another day for him. So the new season kit has been launched recently. Going by how United fans used to boast the shirt sales, our home kit, new home kit, seems to be very good. So hoping... sales of that shirt brings in some revenue. We seriously seem cash stricken by the rumors of our supposed budget. So one of the things that I want to take from that was, is Saka given the number 7 shirt? So there was a post where Saka was, you know, looking at other. It was an illustration where he was looking at different shirts that was having the number 7. You know the names. One thing somebody mentioned was Alexis Sanchez. So my mind raced back to the games that he used to have an influence on. He used to start every game, of course, but assume he didn't start. Whenever you brought him on as a sub, you know he would have an impact. You know, the kind of game changer that you would love to see running around, taking shots, creating chances, causing the opposition to commit a foul and whatnot. A game changer, if you will. We don't seem to have anybody like that in the entire squad. So Vivek or Elroy, you guys can take this up. Is it something that we are badly missing?
If I'm taking this up, then yeah, definitely it is something we're missing. It's quite obvious. Pepe was supposed to be the X factor. He may well still turn out to be one. We've had a few. Great goals have been few and far between this season. Pepe has contributed at least whatever handful we have, he's contributed to the majority of the handful, I guess. So he could be that player, but he has some distance to go. He's not as established as Sanchez was when he came, but back then, the going price for a lot of players was very, very low. Sanchez in 2018 would have cost, in the form that Pepe was, would have cost you 90 or 100 million, right? Zaha was started to be 100 million. So us paying Sanchez 30, 32 million seems like a coup now. Was probably a coup back then as well. But the going price is quite a bit now to get those X factor kind of players. So my hope is that Pepe is going to grow into become the player possibly next season. It's been a very stop-start 2019-20 campaign, right, for the league. So with a decent enough preseason under his belt, no African Cup of Nations, there'll barely probably be any international games, I guess, up until we start. So hopefully he can grow into becoming the player. I'm a little disappointed that I missed all the fun arguments and discussions that we were possibly having for the last half hour. It's too late to go back now. So hopefully we get to do more of those kind of debates once the season ends.
We will. So, Elroy, do you think Arteta can mould Pepe into that kind of game changer? Though he naturally may be, he may be someone who was brought in, by seeing such a game of his, that side of his game.
Arteta could definitely take Pepe to another level, maybe, you know, up his game. That mentality is something that, it's difficult to coach that into someone. Some players are just born with that mentality. They are big game players, and that will be very difficult to get out of Pepe. Yes, quality-wise, technical quality-wise, maybe Arteta could guide him or take him to the next level, you know. And there are examples, like how he did at City with Sané or with Sterling. So things like that can be possible, but to give him, for him to develop that mentality is up to him. You know, it will be up to someone like Pepe or whichever player we are talking about. So that is something which is not a lot in the hands of the coach, but we can hope. And that is something which we definitely miss in the squad right now. We, as Vivek said, we don't have anyone who, you know, when the chips are down, someone who will just take the game by its hand and do it by themselves. We don't have that player right now. So one thing would be obviously that the players itself somehow develop it within themselves, which is quite difficult. Second thing is to buy such players, you know. We just need to invest in players who will be of that mentality.
Yeah, so Vivek, you said you missed a lot of fun, which you did. So I'm going to bring back a topic on similar lines with Elroy Furness. See, either you have to make do with what we have, or you have to, splurge money and get the goods. So we lacked creativity against Aston Villa. We have debated about various factors that could have you know, helped us win the game or at least create chances and whatnot. So do you think it is wise to, you know, spend some money to fill that creative gap, or do you think it is advisable to use the solutions within?
So you're saying Mesut Ozil, right? So
I don't know.
I mean, so to me, I don't know. I think
we could be talking about Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
So we said Matt Smith.
I'm a bit misunderstood here. I love Ozil. I love the fact that he was an Arsenal player. I'm not sure about
sure,
this.
No, sure, we believe you.
No. But he signed will forever remain one of the best nights in my time of supporting Arsenal. Okay, there's no two ways about it. But my view has only changed because
so true.
No. I mean, let me. So my view has only changed because he's on a decline. Anyone who says he hasn't been on a decline, I think, is kidding themselves, because the assist dried up since Olivier Giroud stopped scoring goals. I mean, okay, Giroud was pathetic for the second half of that Leicester season. And ever since that season ended, we've not seen the same Ozil again. Ever since the World Cup ended, we've not seen the same Ozil again. And there are reasons far beyond football for that. He's had issues in his family. He was, well, he's not welcome in Germany anymore. He kind of chose to make it that way. He's looking at things much bigger than football. And I think that speaks in his social media and whatever he does and when his agent came here and whatnot, right? I mean, if we are going to say we have the same player we had in 2015, he is not going to be on the bench. And the only club coming for him will not be a Turkish club. Okay, sometimes it really is as simple as that. As for should we keep him and play him next season, I would say yes, if he had 2 or 3 years left. He's on the last year of his contract. I think we just want to move on, get in younger blood or newer blood or however we want to phrase this, because Ozil is not the future of Arsenal Football Club. He was the past. He unfortunately is not the present. I would love to see him play every single game for us. But for whatever reason, it's just not working. And that's gone through 3 managers now, right? Mm-hmm. In Freddie Ljungberg's last game for Arsenal, Mesut Ozil did not start the game. He didn't even come off the bench. So now Freddie also has issues. Supposedly, Arteta seems to have issues now. Emery clearly had an issue. And I don't think he made the situation any better for himself, because he made it Mesut Ozil versus Unai Emery. At least with Arteta, he has a sense not to go into that. So, I mean, end of the day, I'm making it very clear, okay? Ozil leaves tomorrow, Ozil leaves in a season. He will be one of the best signings we made simply because of the circumstances around it. He was very, very good for the majority of his tenure at the club. But since the last year and a half, it's been a downward spiral. And I don't know how people can deny that. Whether we are saying, is he better than Joe Willock to create? Of course, yes. Mesut Ozil with one eye is better than Joe Willock. There's no two ways about it. But sometimes it is more than what happens on the pitch, right? I mean, everything is far-reaching when it comes to football. It depends where your contract is, how long you're going to be here, how you train. Because you have a coach that seems to demand certain things in training. And if you're not going to bring it, then why play, right? Unless you're Lionel Messi. Or unless you're, I don't know, whoever the top 3 or 5 players in the world are right now.
Yeah, that was a very good monologue.
No,
I like just one thing.
I want to add in here.
You guys can.
Vinay, you go first.
Okay. Ozil brings the best out of us, so let's all fight.
No fight at all. Vivek summarized what we all spoke. Me and Jomi said exactly what you said, Vivek, just for you to know. We exactly said what you said. We agreed.
I'm not being a... Look, I like Ozil. I'm just not a fan.
No, we honestly said exactly this. And I said the club is the loser in this. And Jomi countered it by saying Ozil is only helping the club by making shirt sales and marketing money. Else, as a player, we have all agreed and accepted that he is not good enough to play for Arsenal. Not in terms of skill. He just doesn't fit in. We have concluded and you summarized it. Perfect. We all think alike.
So Vivek,
I don't. Anjan, just one thing, Vivek. One statement you mentioned. I am all with you with the fact that Ozil has a downward spiral. Everything I accept that Ozil is not the same Ozil which we signed. You mentioned the fact that let's get in young blood in the team. One, with our finances and looking at our priority list, what we need first and what we not. Do you think there is any such player in our academy or in the market whom we can get at based on what money we have and what requirements we have and what is our priority list? One. And second, if we have a player like Ozil, what you said, that even Ozil with one eye is better than Willock. If we have a player like Ozil who can play and he is wanting to fight for the spot that we all know, why not use him for the 1 year also which we have him? Why are we even wasting him on the bench? Let us use him because he wants to play, he wants to fight for the team. It's better than having a blind man it's better than having a one-eyed man than a blind man.
Yeah, but then some managers or coaches do not want to start a game with 10 people, so that's also a problem. But I'm not going to deviate, Ankur. I just on the Ozil factor, right? I'm going to link Arteta to it. Now, not a concern. I think a lot of people like the fact that Arteta is strict, firm when it comes to the process. Ozil, we understand the situation, so we can live with it. Guendouzi is another kid. He's just a kid. He's not taken the world by storm. So even if he's not played, it's fine. But I have a concern if, say, for example, Aubameyang putting in the goals, one fine day he doesn't turn up for training and Arteta doesn't like it and he doesn't play him at all. How far can Arteta go?
I agree. But that's a concern for me too, especially with what's happening with Guendouzi. But I'm willing to let that slide because he's had issues in the past.
Johnny, to just chip in to this point, yes, that if it's for someone like Aubameyang, this would definitely be a big question. But in the past, we have seen Arteta taking such steps with the lower players. Niles has been dropped before. Ceballos has been dropped. Pepe has been dropped. And there was one more person who I'm missing out. But yeah, he has taken this step with other players. But what you said is absolutely correct. How he would deal with, even Lacazette, for instance, has been dropped. So now someone like Oba is right now the player of the highest stature that we have in our team, along with, you know, stature-wise with Ozil. So would he do that with Oba? That is to be seen. But other than Oba, you can see that he has taken these steps with the other players.
Because Aubameyang has a history. So people need to understand that, right? He has a history. So that's the problem of getting his contract extended also. Because you would show him the end of the tunnel or end of the rainbow, right? Saying you sign one more year and we are back there.
No, that's true. And I think one thing that needs to be understood here is are you trying to be a strict disciplinarian and be the George Graham types? Remember, he dropped Paul Merson. For the ones who may know how he is almost Ozil. On his day, he is like probably more Gascoigne than Ozil. On his day, he could do magic and he could turn up drunk and come to the pitch. Graham wouldn't play him. And the whole Arsenal fraternity would go up in arms saying, like, how could you not play your most creative genius in that team? So it's the same. But straight answer, if it's an Aubameyang, as Jomi rightly said, will Arteta say, nope, rule is a rule for every fool? Good luck with that. Try to play that with an Aubameyang. And I started the podcast by saying that you take off his goals from this team, we are probably 12th to 15th, if not scraping for the relegation. So it's a fine balance. That's why the manager role is so tough, or the head coach, as he's called. You have to pamper and massage certain egos. You can't help it. He is your biggest star. Not Ozil, not Leno, not Lacazette. Aubameyang is your savior in this team. So if he doesn't turn up to training one day, you have to turn a blind eye or call him aside. You will never admonish him in public the way you would do it to a Guendouzi or an Ozil. That is where it's tough.
And Arteta needs to be, even if he's firm, but has to be flexible. Else, again, he is the loser. Aubameyang is not going to lose. He will still get, if Lautaro Martinez does not go to Barcelona, their plan B likely is going to be Aubameyang, because he's probably still, I think, probably among the top 10 strikers in the world. I would say yes. Not top 5, but top 10. And the top 5 who are there are not something that are available to be bought right now. So I think, yeah, he still has options. Who do Arsenal have? You can't go and try to get a Lautaro Martinez, can you? So sometimes you will have to be blind. Can't help it. Wenger did it for Alexis.
Yeah, we all saw how Alexis turned out to be. Vivek, I like the way you started, right? That you were probably misunderstood. Maybe we don't... I don't want to take this any further, but maybe we also... maybe even Mesut Ozil is a little bit misunderstood. Who knows? So, So Elroy. So one of the key things were the creative aspect being missed. Again, the transfer window is an option to address that, or again, at least bringing back to the fold is another option, because the names that you mentioned, right? Who else was it? Pepe. All these Ceballos, all these guys were, you know, sort of sidelined, but not much with not much of a headline. But they came back into the squad training, starting 11. They've done well, at least to the levels they were expected to. Do you think that is something that could be done to at least address this gap, at least as an option from the bench? Because shelling out money on a creative player in the upcoming window would not be my priority, but I don't know where or what the club is going to do.
You cannot help but see the fact that, you know, it's definitely the club who's also putting some amount of pressure to get Ozil out of the current team. Second thing is, we are saying that, yeah, we have just two games left. Now, two games, one of which is almost irrelevant, and the final is something whether he could directly play someone like Ozil. Let's admit it, it's quite a risky scenario also. Now, the thing about Ozil is, it depends to a great extent on what Arteta wants, how he wants to set up in the following season. Now, there are a lot of rumors that Arteta wants to set up in a 4-3-3. And the 4-3-3 current formation, like the one which City uses, for instance, is a formation wherein in the base you have one player who will cover the entire, who will shield the defense. And then you have two attacking number eights, okay? Which is something which, and these attacking number eights are supposed to do a lot of defensive work and move up front and be creative. Now, this is where Ozil being a pure number 10 probably comes as an issue into the current system that maybe that Arteta wants. Okay, so Ozil is by far, as everybody agrees to it, our best creative player. But can he put in a show that is expected, like, you know, more than what is expected from a player who's being played in that role right now? Because, see, the number 10 role as such is almost taken out from the squad right now. And what happens is, when you play a player like Ozil, the opposition will play one player to man-mark him throughout the game, and it has worked for opposition quite a bit, wherein they just try to take Ozil out of the game, and his effect is nullified. So that's what I'm saying. You know, how the system is, you know, so see, as City takes, say, you mark KDB, Silva is the one who gets that freedom, or they go to the wing. So that is what I'm saying. It all depends on how the system is. And, you know, even Cesc Fabregas recently said that the pure number 10 roles are gone. It's very difficult to have that right now in the current system. So that is why, so it's, you know, the everything has gone against Ozil right now, probably because the role is being, you know, people have found out how to play against such kind of players. Then that for Arsenal also are in a rebuilding phase. So the situation has been such that everything is against Ozil. Now, what you're saying in terms of playing him for, you know, using him, it depends on how effective he can be for an entire season. And that is where the biggest question mark is right now with the system. So personally, I would, you know, much even I love Ozil, as everybody will say the same thing, they love Ozil. But it for me, as I've continuously said, he either stays and we use him completely or we sell him off and rebuild. This on and off thing is something which is costing the club big time. It also makes the system go haywire. So it needs one answer. And for me personally, if we are going into next season, I would prefer, I mean, with no agenda there, I would prefer if maybe if we get rid of Ozil and start the rebuild, and maybe that would, let's see how that goes for the club.
Just
yeah, sounds like go on.
Just to quickly add on to what Elroy summed up quite well. One thing I think, I'm sure we all know, but maybe we haven't thought about enough, is there are no players in the world, at least in the top leagues, other than Messi and Ronaldo, that get a free role. Not even KDB, who's probably the third best player in the world, only second to Messi and Ronaldo. Ronaldo is still there, that is in the peak of his career. There is no one that gets a free role anymore. No one gets a role, okay, you know what, you don't track back, you are so good, you only stay in the top third and I don't want anything else from you. That's something that I think is worth thinking about, because I can't think of any, at least, unless someone can name one, apart from Messi and Ronaldo, everyone's expected to put in a defensive shift.
I think we can
and, just add one
part, frankly, point. Very honestly.
No, I'll just add one point.
Simply put, I think all of us do not want... The only reason that every Ozil fan or every Arsenal fan wants an Ozil discussion is simply because it's more like he's loved so much. So give him a little farewell, play him on the pitch and send him rather than... have him sit on the bench and then suddenly in between now and September 12th, you just say tada, bye-bye. It's just that let him have a couple of minutes at least. Let us just say thank you, Mesut, and go. Because let's be very honest, he's now a liability, not because of any other reason, but it's simply because he's waned. Football has become more powerful. And most crucially, he does not fit into what Arteta is trying to do or Arsenal is trying to do. As we summarized before
exactly.
You guys joined, all of us agreed that it is not just an Arteta problem, it's an Arsenal problem, that Freddie, Arteta, Emery all did not think Ozil fits in. So if all three are saying and one person is trying to say it's again, no, I will fit in, he doesn't have much of a chance. The only thing is let him play 10 minutes tomorrow. Or maybe when we are leading 8-0 against Chelsea in the final, maybe 10 minutes, 2 minutes then, something like that. Not too much to ask if we are leading 8-0 next Sunday.
It's sad. If Ozil leaves, it's sad.
Yeah, so the year is 2022. We are about to go to Arsenal Bangalore screening. There's a BFC game about to start. So we all head to the Kantiriva Stadium. Ozil starts for BFC. He chips in. Finishes 1-0. We go to Arsenal
Bangalore.
Good one. That will be the day. Epic.
That will be the day. I mean, who wouldn't go to see it? A player like him.
Yeah.
Vivek would. All of us will.
I would actually end up supporting BFC finally.
Yeah. So I think this was on the agenda for a long time, debating about only Ozil. We started off elsewhere before you guys joined in. But even since then, it has gone the same way.
I think, Anjan, you can might as well name the episode also as the Ozil podcast or something.
Yeah, it sounds that way. So just a few ending thoughts. So looks like we are going to finish 8th. And Vinay rightly predicted a long time back. Arteta seems to think that even winning the FA Cup is not enough for a club of our stature. So final thoughts on the league position and how and where did we mess it up?
Did we mess up? Okay, we will go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, we should just whitewash the season. Absolutely the worst. I'm hoping I never get to see something as worse as this. If we kind of make a fortune's turn with the FA Cup in terms of at least a good feeling, So the way the season ends, then awesome. But like Arteta said, we got to give it to him. He knows how to talk. He knows how to get the fans going at least. It's not good enough, FA Cup or no FA Cup. With FA Cup, it's a little better. But eighth position is... We are two times as worse as we were under Wenger. That's what it is. And we were saying we were bad under Wenger. We were top four. And we're eighth. I mean, lost for words, really.
I think it's richly deserved. We richly deserve the eighth. That's what we have been. And that's what we deserve. I really don't see where else could we have ended. I think the ones who punched above their weight this season... is Sheffield. Wolves continue to. Last season also they were good. This season also they have been. Leicester punching above their weight and just waning away towards the end now. The officials also
punched above their weight to help United. So yeah.
I agree. I think what is almost a certainty was the best case scenario, Arsenal would have finished this. We are probably the sixth best squad. But then the defensive mistakes have been so much over the season, which feels so long now. We don't recollect what happened last August when we are actually coming to this August. So from August till this August, there have been too many mistakes. The individuals, only two worth mentioning, really worth mentioning, Aubameyang and Leno, and to an extent now Martinez and Saka. And Xhaka have kept us. So individuals can only drag a sinking ship to a certain extent. Arsenal and Arteta need a very, very, very strong anchor on which they have to climb up. So don't expect miracles next season. That's not going to happen in one season. I still maintain this is what we were. It would have been 6th to 8th. And we're finishing 8th. Now, if we can round it up by... winning next Sunday, somehow, as I told you right at the start, 93rd minute, I know sadly Mustafi isn't there, and 93rd minute, David Lewis scoring from one of the strands of his hair, makes no difference. 1-0 to the Arsenal next Sunday, and at least some soothing balm to a disastrous season.
For me, it doesn't make any difference where we end, unless we are competing for the title. So... start of the season, I always look, are we good enough to win the league? And if we are not, I don't really worry about which position we are in. Having missed the Europa finals last season, I was actually looking forward to the season. Yes, we missed out on the finals, but I thought we did reach the Europa finals. So we should move on a good track this season. But I think the team started... the league from where they ended the Europa final, and that never went away from the players, even though there were a lot of new players that have come in, and it just went on a bad note with Emery and the players not sinking fine, with the fans not sinking fine, with the coach, and then it just went downhill after that. So start of the season, see if our team is good enough to compete. If no, have your expectations low. And then you won't be happy at the end of the year, but at least you wouldn't be very worried or very sad for what has happened.
I think the feeling of going numb is sinking in, right? The numbness, knowing that we are where we are and not much was thought that we'd be above that. And I think... I read somewhere that it's have the right expectations. Don't have any expectations that the team's going to do well, but being an Arsenal fan, all you can do is always hope. So that's from an expectation perspective, yes, we seem to be, as Domi mentioned, we might be at the sixth position if we perform decently. But again, nothing beyond it, and agree to Vinay's point of telling that we should not be expecting anything next season. Hopefully, we scrape through, get into Europa through FA Cup, and then maybe have the kids play in the first robin rounds, and then maybe after that, see what happens in the knockout. But I don't see us getting into Champions League for the next two seasons at least.
We can't survive.
I mean,
two seasons for Champions League. I don't think we'll survive it.
See, the thing is, right, I mean, for a club like us, right, I mean, for us, for that matter, for us or Chelsea or United, assuming that we are the three teams off the possible top four who can't win Champions League, okay, I'm going to put Chelsea in that list. We have the biggest opportunity to get into Champions League by winning Europa. And teams like us should definitely be in the finals. Because it's seriously those teams that play, we can easily beat them. I mean, coming into the semi-finals should be a cakewalk. Semi-finals, you could get a tough opponent, possibly an opponent that would have come in the finals. Yeah, it's possible, but you should bare minimum, if you're playing Europa, you should get into semi-finals for a team like us. And if we can't make semi-finals of Europa, I mean, you're not good enough even for Europa. And I think you should build back and get back to Champions League.
I think one positive, if at all you want to look to the next season, is when Conte came in, Chelsea were 10th, no distractions. Maybe that's a good omen to look at it. He went on to win the league. Give a chance. You never know. We may win the league next season.
Not the way City and Poole are playing, right? Liverpool are playing.
I was just thinking I have to put a recurring account because we might have to do the best parade. So, no, Vinay. Ever since I promised that we will do a best parade in Bangalore, we don't even want to get it.
10 years since we've been thinking of that bus parade. I think we should set down our this one, expectations. Even an FA Cup charity shield wins also we should do. If not a bus parade, maybe an auto parade or something like that.
Aray, I miss those Emirates Cup, man. Let's do a victory parade for Emirates Cup.
We should celebrate that at least.
Only parade that I'm doing is at home. You know what parades I'm doing, but that's the only parades that I want to do as of now. I mean, I wish Arsenal gives that opportunity at least.
Yeah, right. So there you go. That was a fun recording. We've gone way too deep into the night. The creative juice is coming out. So, yeah, thank you guys for joining in. Keep listening. Keep following our social media handles for a lot of other content that we're going to come up with even after the season is ending. So, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Please search Arsenal Bangalore on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and follow our official handles for all the updates.